position number 22658, reel 1.
This is the first reel of a taped interview with Norden Digby in his home in Perth, Western Australia, on the 22nd of the 8th, 2001, for the Imperial War Museum in London, and the interviewer is John Bannister. Norden, can we please begin the interview by you telling us your full name and where and when you were born, please?
I'm generally known as Norden Digby. My baptised name is Kenelm Norden Wingfield Digby. I was born in Kellerberrin in 1920, 22nd of October. My father was Harold Leonard Digby, who married my mother, Nelmore Alice Doust of Bridgetown. I was born in the Commercial Bank in Kellerberrin. My sister, Nelmore Jern, was born 2 years later, also born at the Commercial Bank in Kellerberrin.
Tell us where Kellerberrin is.
Kellerberrin is about 120 odd kilometres east of Perth. It is a wheat and sheep farming area. It's on the the main highway and the Eastern States Railway. It's mainly, I understand, farmed by ex-service people from World War One. I'm not too sure about this, but in later years they were having a salt problem, which naturally affected their wheat production. They had bad times going through the depression, mainly low price of their commodities. I'm not too sure about what the situation is at the moment. I think they've done reasonably well out of this season, not like some of the further outward areas who are really against the wall, in other words. I think that's about all I could do is describe Kellerberrin.
So your family were farmers?
On my mother's side, yes. She came from a family of 10. Her father was virtually a pioneer in the district. Of course, in those days, the girls were married off, and the sons got the properties. I can't be stated as being or farmer oriented, but I do have an interest in the farming. It's tied up with not a financial one, but assistance.
What did your father do?
He was a bank manager at Kellerberrin.
I was going to ask, because you were born in the bank.
Yes. Yeah.
Sounds like an interesting place to be born.
Oh, well, there's no district hospitals in those days, I don't think, up there. At the moment, my youngest daughter and her husband have an interest in a property at Quindanning.
Sorry, you can continue.
I go down to that property once a month and get involved in various odd jobs around, such as fencing and sometimes with the sheep work. I'm on call if they want some sort of assistance, but I've still got plenty of other works at home to undertake and try and keep the place in respectable order.
Can you tell us what it was like growing up in Caliberran? Give us some sort of description of your childhood years.
Well, I can't help you very much in that way, because the family separated after my sister was born, and I went to live with my grandparents in Bridgetown. That's my mother and sister.
Well, maybe you can tell us a little bit about Bridgetown.
Bridgetown.
As a southwest town.
Yeah, as a southwest town. And, of course, it was a bit of a distressing time, I would say, for my mother. And as far as we were concerned, there were that many cousins and relatives down there that we were well looked after. A grandfather disciplined us. We all had little odd jobs to do. But apart from that, as a kid, it was a happy time.
Can you describe the place to us a bit?
Well, this property, first of all, my grandfather built a cottage out of wattle and daub, I think they call it, and probably what it was with shingled roof. And as he prospered, he eventually built quite a large home on that property, alongside this old cottage. He ran an orchard. He had dairy cattle. Had quite a large holding out further away from Bridgetown, which was his virgin bush, about 1,000-odd acres out there. And we all sort of fitted in with the situation, and the main thing is that as kids we all, not only me but the rest of my cousins and that, they all had to do as they were told. But one of the things that about the building situation there was, it's always passes through my mind on how and who designed this particular large shed, which contained a dairy, loose boxes, that's in other words stables for a couple of horses, a hay area, and then from whenever they wanted to cut chaff, it was passed from the storage of the hay across a passage into the chaff cutter, which was on a two-storey level. The chaff fell into the chaff room underneath, the bags that they use for the chaff was sunk in wells, so they just scooped the chaff from off the floor into the bags and pulled the bags out when they were folded and away they went, which I thought was whoever designed and thought it was well advanced at time.
What do you recall of the community feel in Bridgetown?
Well, I'm just trying to describe this. There's a sort of a class distinction, not a very big one, but the people that lived in the town were called townies, and the farmers, whether they were wealthy or they were on the bone of their backside sort of business, were, I can't say looked up to, but a little bit higher standard, not educationally, but there was that difference. And I also found that out when I lived in York, that there were cliques around the town, and you had to belong to one, or it was pretty hard to belong to all of them. But as my mother often said that about Bridgetown, there were some very wealthy people in the area, that it was a shame that they didn't invest in the township.
Were there community gatherings, that sort of thing?
Oh yes, it was quite a big centre.
What would be some of the reasons for the gatherings?
It would be the local authorities, the farming fraternity. Then they had repertory clubs, and there was a repertory club. They had a good school down there, quite a number of churches. But it just didn't have that up and go about it at the time, and that's where Manjimup and Donnybrook sort of surpassed him.
Were there gatherings to do with the remembrance of possibly the First World War at all?
There would be, but never came to my notice at all, because out of the five sons, that's on my grandfather's sons, none of them were involved in World War One. So there was a lot of the surrounding districts were in it, mainly light horsemen and things of that nature.
As you grew up, what did you learn about the First World War?
Well, I think a lot of it was brought to our attention through schools. Mainly, that's the state schools. The what should I say? There was a close contact with the UK. Everybody sort of called it home. And in the schools and that, Anzac Days and things of that nature were always brought to our notice.
Can you recall what Anzac Day was like at school as a boy?
No, I can't. I can't do that.
What about Armistice Day?
No, I can't. It was probably mentioned around, but it probably didn't ring a bell so much so.
Were there people in the community that had been away,
Yes. They were that. But they'd probably no doubt had their marches on Anzac Day, and I mean, I would imagine, as it did in other schools that I'd been, those particular days were brought to. And I mean, with the getting back to the thoughts about the UK was, I mean, there was always God Save the King or Queen played. All the old English songs was sung, and it wasn't hammered into us, but I mean, it was just sort of accepted.
So what then was the sense of the strength of the empire at that stage when you were a boy in the 20s in Bridgetown?
I just knew. I knew about the kings and the queens and things that were brought to us. And I mean, history was hammered into you, and I'm not saying at the age of 6 years of age, but all the way through. And I mean, we always had the map with the red empire marked around it. We all learned all those particular places and their capitals and all that sort of business. It was, well, we just followed on learning as our parents were taught. And so there was that ties back to the UK, and yep, that's about all I can say on that.
As you grew up, tell us about what you thought of what you might do in the future.
No, I don't think I could. I might have gone on to the farm, but I mean, then again, it required money to do that, or the assistance from somewhere or other, which we didn't have, because being separated, there's no pensions or anything like that. You just had to battle it out.
How old did you go? How old were you when you left school?
Well, I was about 16 or something of that nature.
So this would have been 1936.
Yeah, 36. But go on.
Sorry if I interrupted you. How had you noticed the depression and how it had affected the community?
Yeah, well, I had a fair bit to do that. When I say a fair bit, my memory. Around about 1928, 29 or somewhere there, the family came back together again, and we lived in or started off at Perth, so that meant that I had to go to new schools and things of that nature, and we'd moved from West Perth, where we were living in a two-storey semi-detached place, and then eventually the family, they rented a place out in Woodsum Street in Mount Lawley, which was a new area. It was a brand new house, and we sort of gathered together, got the house into shape, well, my mother did, and then my father lost his job, so the battle was on. So we had to leave the house in Mount Lawley, and we went to a place in Subiaco, and that's where we battled out the depression, and it was a battle. I think that on two occasions I went to live with my father's parents, so that was another school I had to go to. And then through the depression, as I said before, it was a pretty tough situation. Then my father got a job, a clerical job in the flour mills, and things start to improve then, and then eventually he was transferred to York as manager of the flour mill at York. So we all went off to York to live.
York is out near Northern.
Out near Northern. It's roughly 100 k's to from Perth, and about 30 k's off Northern.
And Northern is probably where you were to train as a soldier at some point later.
That's right, yes, from there. But what I was going to mention about the Depression period, there was a big gathering of the unemployed in the St. George's Terrace and things of that nature. And I had an uncle that lived with us in Subiaco. He was a journalist, and I can remember him coming home this particular night saying how there was, let's say, troublemakers in the big rally that was on, and the police were handcuffing them to around Supreme Court Gardens. They had a cast iron fence. It was like spiked uprights, and they were handcuffing them to those, and they're handcuffing them to the underground toilets, which had similar types of fencing around them, and it's always sort of stuck in my mind. And every now and again, it comes up in history about those particular fellows. That was one of the things about depression that I sort of stuck in my mind. So it was pretty serious at the time.
Was there any concern about the outside world other than your immediate situation?
No, I don't think so. I think everybody sort of realised that the world was in the same situation. But I mean, we probably may have been better off than other places because of the mateship and how everybody helped.
So the changing situation in Europe, how much of a concern was that for you?
Oh, I don't think it worried us too much at all until Jimmy Hitler started to come into the situation.
Well, it was the early 30s that he started to sort of make a rise in Germany.
Yes.
It was out of the Depression years that sort of enhanced that. What then were your earliest recollections of Jimmy Hitler?
It was a bit terrifying in ways to think that someone would do the things that he did or planned. But I don't think it upset too many of us.
As I was...
You know, as a child, and so...
As I understand, his book Mein Kampf was on sale in Perth.
Yes.
Do you recall anything like that? Barnes had a window full of his books at one point.
Yeah. No, well, there are times, as I said, that I had lived with my grandparents, and he was like through the depressions. I mean, he had a position in the railway, so they were though they probably had a salary reductions. They were still far better off than anybody else, and he was well up with what was going on in the world. So we, you know, if I was around, I listened to the discussion between him and his sons about the situation.
What's some of the things that you possibly can recall of some of those discussions? What was the main topics that would come up?
Well, not so much knowing about that, but there was that feeling that the dislike for German people and or anything to do with German people. And of course there were German people here, immigrants, same as the Italians, but there was a... I know my grandmother, she was very hateful about the situation. Not... It might have been as a result of World War One, but I'm not sure of that fact. But they were always pretty careful of any dealings that they wouldn't have a dealing if it was possible with anyone with... German extraction. But as far as I was concerned, I didn't... I just knew about it, that's all.
Okay. Do you recall things like the Olympics of 1936?
Yes, I do. Particularly in regards to Hitler's attitude to coloured races and that. And I'm not too sure whether he got into the stage of anti-Jews or Zionism, as it might have been called. But that was pretty close around the area or around that particular time that I can remember.
Do you remember Jesse Owens?
Yeah, I knew that, but I wasn't going to say anything. But, yes.
He was a bit disappointed when he won,
yeah,
wasn't he?
Oh, yes, there's no doubt about that. And
What were the feelings toward the Jewish population in Perth? As I understand, there was quite a large population here.
I don't think there was any animosity towards them, and I'll say for the Jewish people, the Italian people, the Chinese people, they settled into this country, did their best to speak English, they endeavoured to abide by the law, and though I have no proof of this, but if any of them ever cut up rough, the police would know who to go and speak to, and that would be the end of the subject, unless they persisted in...
What in particular with the Jewish people and the problems that their relatives and they may have been facing in Europe?
I don't think that it ever came to my attention, but I do know that from, let's say, history, that when the refugees came in, that was a different situation. That was a, probably a religious disagreement that mainly in Melbourne and not so much in our state.